Our reading from Deuteronomy can be found on page 143 of the Church Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verse 20. In which we hear Moses instructing the Israelites how to keep their covenant with God. When your children ask you in time to come, what is the meaning of the decrees and statutes and ordinances that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your children, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord displayed before our eyes great and awesome signs and wonders against Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land that he promised on oath to our ancestors. Then the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our lasting good, so as to keep us alive, as is now the case. If we diligently observe this entire commandment before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, we will be in the right. Our second reading from the prophet Jeremiah can be found on page 642. And here we hear how, as Jeremiah watches the Babylonian armies advancing on Jerusalem, he knows that God's covenant with Moses is coming to an end. And he hears God's new promise. Jeremiah chapter 31 from verse 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their heart. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. For the word that inspires us, we praise you, O God. Our epistle can be found on page 922, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, from the first verse. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves, your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. For the truth that enlightens us, we praise you, O God. And finally, a gospel reading from on page 878 from the Gospel of John. Hear the gospel of Christ. Glory to Christ our Savior. The 15th chapter, the first verse. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord.
The early Israelites, in that first reading from Deuteronomy, they had put into place a means by which the people reminded themselves frequently who they were, what their purpose was, to whom they belonged and found their identity in, and a way to make that happen again and again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, guide our thoughts, our understandings in your ways, and draw us nearer to you as we reflect on these scriptures and on our purpose here today. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Do you ever stop and actually think, what is it that guides my life? Do you ever stop and actually reflect on the course of how things are going for you now? Maybe even write it down, journal it. This is what I'm doing. This is what I believe. How much divergence is there between the two? Praise the Lord, or, oh dear God. It's an interesting thing to do. It's not a bad thing to get into the habit of doing in a sort of a ordered and intentional way, for lots of reasons. One is, it's a good thing to do to bring you back, to hold you back to who you are in the face of all the pressures that try to squeeze you into a different shape to the shape that you would really like to be in. And we're not now talking about dieting. It's also an interesting thing to do, because if you do it and if you write it down, then as the years go by, you can look and you can trace something of the journey of life that you've had. And how over that time, as you have drawn nearer and nearer to God, which is the purpose of Christian faith and life, you can track how that journey has led you from one understanding to another. It is a good idea to write down not only where you're at, but where you're at in relationship to where you know you should be. The Israelites had a way of doing that. When your children ask you, why do we do this? Why do we do that? Here's what you say to them, Deuteronomy 6. Now, as Christians, as people, as community of faith, when we come together on a Sunday morning, we're building into our lives a means of reflecting on the things that are absolutely essential to us, week by week by week by week. Church is not something we do to be ritually pure and clean. I have attended church 49 times this year. I am at 0.7.6 on the holiness Richter scale. Church is the time when we gather together with people who are together trying to follow Christ. And week by week we have time to stop and think and reflect together what our faith is about, and to put that together with where we're at in our living. God, what are you saying to me this morning? What is it I need to address? It's not so much about how good the sermon is. It's a lot more about, Lord, where am I with you? Where am I with relationship to the things that you call me to be? Now that's very, in some ways, quite cerebral. That's thinking about the way I'm living my life, the way I'm relating to people around me, how I am to my family, how I am to my spouse, to my kids, to my grandparents, to my grandkids. How did I respond in this business situation, in this neighbour situation, all those kind of things. I was sitting having a cup of coffee with my mate Mike on Friday, and we were talking about worship, and Mike said something profound. That is not something to be surprised at. But he did. He said something profound, and I want to give Mike a chance to tell you what he said, or something along the lines of that. So if we can have that. Thanks, Barry.
I'm so glad you gave me warning of this, Bruce. What I said was something like this. Margaret and I went to a recital by Alexandra Dariescu, a pianist I absolutely love. And she played the entire Chopin preludes, many of which I try to play myself. And of course, I was very excited. What is she going to show me that I've never heard before? And she didn't disappoint. As she played, my soul was twisted deliciously this way and that. Because in great music, there is always more to find. Even in pieces you've been playing and exploring for 50 years, the notes don't change, but the music just gets better and better. And for me, playing Chopin is like meeting an old friend. Same old friend, but it just gets better and better. Similarly, when the Bible is read in church and when the preacher begins, I've known these wonderful words for 50 years. But what is he or she going to show me that I've never heard before? There's always something new and exciting to hear. That's why I make notes in case I miss something. We call it meeting our risen Lord. Same old friend, but it just gets better and better.
So while I can talk on one level about reflecting on the reality of our living and reflecting on what we think and believe and where we're at in relationship to what God calls us to be, the other reality that's coming through that Mike touched on and alerted me to so powerfully, we're also encountering a reality in our worship. And we're doing it together with others who are seeking to encounter that reality, because it is the living God that makes the difference in our life, not the words about the living God. Valerie, I hope I'm not going to embarrass you, but last Sunday night at quiet time, Valerie was talking about light. And of course, we say that Christ is the light of the world and God said, let there be light and things like that. And what I took away from last Friday night, something that stuck in my mind right through the week: you don't look at the light, because when you look at the light, you're blinded. But the light is the means by which we see everything else. So I look at you, and you look at me, because the light is around us. And the way we, as Christ's people, see everybody and everything around us is because of our association with the light of the world. And on Sundays, when we meet together in worship, we are recalling ourselves again and again to that reality, which stands before so many other realities that want to push us and pressure us to be something else. I was thinking about these things during the week, and I came across something that I've written down because it seemed to me very, very important. And it ties those two other things: the reality we encounter, the understanding that we have of who we are. It ties both of those together into the reading about the vine and the branches that Mike read to us and that Rosemary brought to us in the pre-worship music. You didn't know this, Rosemary, but thank you for that. Think about the image. You are the vine, I am the vine, you are the branches. We flow into God and God into us, because it is the nature of love to flow. And as we give ourselves into one another in this fashion, the vine gives life and coherence to the branch, while the branch makes visible what the vine is. The whole and the part live together in mutual loving reciprocity, each belonging to the other and dependent on the other to show forth the fullness of love.